Hey, Bill and Gunnan, welcome to Black Law Tribal Edition. We're here with you today, and it's been a wonderful week. And well, it would have started off really well because everyone would have had the long weekend, but the Yidinji government office was open for all day, the whole 4 days. And we don't stop here because we've got an important work to do. And today joining me is Ganyara and Bumi, and I guess we'll be talking about a number of things. You might have noticed there's an election on if you're living inside the Commonwealth of Australia, and they're all vying for your vote, if you're an Australian listening, that is. But it doesn't really affect the Yidinji people as such, in that the Yidinji citizen can't vote inside the Australian electoral system. You've got to have a ticket inside of Australia, and that's an Australian identity or personality that's created inside of Australia. Or you might have been holding a French citizen that transferred into a permanent resident of Australia, and you can do it that way, vice versa. Now, one of the things is they're all talking about this, that, and the other, but one of the things that came up was an interesting yarn about how this election is developing foreign policy. We touched about this subject a little bit on the subject in the last couple of weeks, but it is becoming real in that China is at the doorstep of this particular region, and Australia might be under a bit of pressure to deal with that. And what we're saying is that Australia would be far better off and more secure by accepting an offer from the Yidinji nation, or any other nation for that matter. I mean, obviously we're very pro Australia here, that's not a problem, but there may be others that aren't. Or what happens if Australia doesn't want the Yidinji offer and someone else does, like China or Israel, which is my preference, by the way. But at the end of the day, that being Australia first, Israel second, or US Israel. So I think it's very important that Australians now start questioning their political leaders or potential candidates. What is your position on the Commonwealth of Australia and the Yidinji Nation? And I think that's an important thing.
Oh, it really is. And this is what Australia, or a majority of Australians, are starting to learn now. They're starting to realise that the sovereignty of the Indigenous nations has not been ceded. They still retain their connection to country, they still retain their connection to law, and it's through that connection to law and country that they actually own the place, the Indigenous nations, that is, own this place pursuant to laws that are not of Australia. And that's a big, big thing that Australia understand, and the Australians are starting to learn about. So in saying that, if you have the sovereignty to your country, you have the right to cede it if you want, through a treaty, in part or in whole, or a little bit, the whole lot, doesn't really matter. But you have the right to cede some of that authority to your country. And who are you going to cede it to? Our preferred position is, as you correctly said, Australia. But what if they don't want it? What if someone's offering a better deal, for example? Or what if there's a nation that is very anti-Australian? Now, I'm talking about an Indigenous nation that's anti-Australian. Think about that. You think about what's actually happened to the Indigenous people and by whom. Was it the Chinese that committed the genocide on this country? Was it the Russians that committed the genocide on this part of the world? Wasn't the Americans, but it might have been the British. And then the Australians committed genocide. Now, that is common knowledge. That one really is, because the Stolen Generation, the Bringing Them Home report, detail it. Now, they made it public knowledge. And this is just, why should an Aboriginal nation want to deal with the Commonwealth of Australia, who perpetrated genocide against them? Think about that, that sort of scenario. So there may be nations that may not want to deal with Australia. They may want to offer it to those who oppose Australia. And this has serious consequences later on in the world. We're trying to maintain the integrity of this continent. But if we give our part, some of our authority to Australia, for example, and the neighbouring lot give their authority to China, only a matter of, 40 or 50 mile, and it's a Chinese territory. Just think of the consequences of this from a military point of view, but also from a logistical point of view, from everything. There's all of a sudden, there's international borders set up on the continent. You know, Australia need to get their act together. And they actually, I see they're going to spend another $160-odd million to try and get some sort of recognition or voice thing to Parliament. What's the good of the $160 million? They're going to spend the $160 million and gain absolutely nothing constitutionally. You know, this is what's coming out of this election. You know, there was a mob come up from all over the place to Yarrabah recently, and they were spruiking off, you know, we got to get this voice, the voice into Parliament. What's the good? What is the voice? The voice is just a toy telephone. It's good for nothing. It doesn't veto power or authority inside Australia. It doesn't affect, it can't change laws that may affect Aboriginal people. You know, so what's really the good of it? And if I asked Bumi here, what has the laws of Australia actually done to his family? You know, you think about that. You tell him, Bumi, what the laws of Australia had done to your family in history over the years. What did they do?
Thank you, Gunja. Yeah, good morning, Bumi here. Well, like Gunja said, you know, and well, my mum, she walked from Cloncurry. And my dad walked from the Barron over to Yarrabah. They didn't walk, they were walked, but they were pushed, they were hunted. You know, my granddad was shot in the foot for no reason at all. The Yidinji nation here now, the Yidinji people, the tribe, my tribal language name is Gimoy, Gimoy Wallabara, my tribe is Yidinji. And coming along now that we, there's no buts, there's no is. They're trying to take things away from us, but they're like a snake in the grass, these fellas, these white fellas. And they put building up without our consent, you know. They said, oh, it's up, they're too late, all this sort of thing, you're too late. You know, sneak around and put all these big building up down that way and up this way. And they always want to blame us. They'll always come back to us. One day, a thing goes on, we've got to get the indigenous people of this land. And when we ask for our rights, they say, no. No, you can't do it. You're drunk. You can't do it. We can do it. We really don't really want them. See, my granddad told Gribble off. He said, we don't need you. You're trouble, you know. He told him off. And that's the big thing, my granddad, he's standing for his right for the people. Even he'll stand up for Australia and get all these other fellas to stand up too. We've got to start getting and talking, and I couldn't talk on the stage or give a welcoming, but we've got to get up and talk. I got Matias Sani and Murama and Ganjana, they're very good on helping me, and I will be with them. Until it's time for me to leave, but come back to this sort of thing that we're in Yidinji now, in Gimoy. And they don't want to use that way, they want to use this Cairns business. See, the Yidinji people have put the language up to protect you, like Dad had to dance for the place in Yarrabah. He couldn't talk. That's a big thing, you know. Here today, I went up to Tolga, isn't it?
Yungaburra.
I went up to Yungaburra and I see all the new houses that the white people get, you know? Press button garage and all this and that. But where's ours, you know? They want to hunt us away all the time. They don't want to give us that sort of thing. I like to know how many rent or thing they're paying on their land, and, you know? We just seem to be neatly dressed and not worrying, you know? They're probably not paying much. You know, on these lands and rates and whatever. You know, we're human. We Aboriginal people, and we're the custodian of Australia. You know, and they should be giving us a good swimming pool, a shop, a tennis court, or a basketball. You know, we can train our own kids. You know, boxing, and they can run too. These kids and swim and. You know, learn their language, learn their language wherever they are, you know. Bring the tucker in, just like on the island. I know it's hard, but they need help too. We are Aboriginal and island there, and they've put us, well, that's good. So they need help there too. You know, good clothes and keep taking Tucker out, and you know, we need it. We need everything, you know. And people say, "Oh, they whinge to me." We don't whinge. We're whinging for the right thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big. It's a really. It's a history that needs settling, and settlement requires trust and treaty, and this is for the security of the future for all persons on our territory, all persons and things, by the way. And if you understand that, then you know that the society has spoken, and you know the tribal society is not going to tolerate that anymore, and the rule of law is going to be applied. So it's important that all these foreign persons and things come into line now. And I'd just like to go back around this time last year in July or thereabouts at the courthouse lawn where the Chief Minister gave an outstanding speech. And in that speech, he acknowledged the various parties that we're talking about today. And he acknowledged the officers of the Yidinji Crown who had appeared in their true and correct capacity. And at that particular day, on that day rather, the people who act as magistrates and judges and whatnot, they actually put their gowns and their wigs on the ground. And Bumi, you were there.
Yeah.
You oversaw that, and as the tribal, one of the tribal leaders for this area, that's a very important role and function that you did that day. Because it symbolised a number of things. There is the law of the land. And once they put that gown and their frock and their wig on the ground, that's our position. Don't ever forget that. The courts, the police officers, the cars, the whole lot, that belongs to the Yidinji Nation. And I'm not making that up. That's a true story. Because, as Ganyara often says, what is on my territory is subject to my territory's law. We can easily say it this way. Jabo Najin. Mayar Najin. Minya Najin. My land, my law, my meat. That's Yidinji's things there. Okay, that's an olden law, the one that the Federal Court of Australia said Yidinji owned all this thing. It never said China or Japan or somebody else, England, been own it. They can't, because like I say, God didn't give it to Yidinji and the others, you know, that have called this place home here are the men and women here that come under that law. So it's a very important thing now that all the Yidinji elders, all the young people, the up-and-comers, to have a look at it, because it is very powerful. And that other world called Australia, yeah, it's there and you can get things from it, but it's time to come home and to help provide security and protection for every man, woman and child on this land here. That's your duty, that's your job. Not to just have a holiday and forget about these things, you know. You can't forget about the law, otherwise you're going to get into trouble yourself. And that's something that, while we even follow the instructions of the tribal council that day on January the 7th, 2013, remember the Yidinji Nation and the Yidinji government was here well before I got involved, before Ganyara or Bumi got involved. That's from your ancestors. And yes, the government started in 2013, but I was still living down south at that time. So it's not just me. Everyone's, oh, that's just Murumi by himself. Well, how? When it started a long time ago, Gundajarabai and all the other mob up top. Anyway.
Yeah, look, it's the application of sovereignty, you know, the sovereignty that hadn't been ceded. The Uluru Statement from the Heart got it right. They said these Aboriginal people own this place. They were the first sovereign nations on this continent, and they own this place under their own law, not Australian law. That's an important thing of recognition of who they are. Then they go on further in the Uluru Statement. They say, oh, roughly 60,000 years of ownership, you know, thereabouts, give or take a few years, which is a pretty long time. And then they go on about sovereignty was not ceded. You know, this connection to country was not ceded. It couldn't be extinguished, you know, because there's no contract to extinguish, but it coexists then, the sovereignty coexists with that of the Australian Crown. So there's two sovereignties here, and this is the problem. It's the first in time sovereignty that's still continuing is the ultimate authority here, and this is what Yidinji are doing, and we've got to let the world know that the Yidinji nation is bringing back all its laws and authority and is starting to assert its sovereignty on its and the validity of its laws on the continent around here where we call Yidinji territory. That would then mean that the Yidinji police have the authority to arrest anyone and anything within our territory, be it the Queen of England, if she's here without consent, without the proper entry visa, be it the Prime Minister of Australia, be it the head of the Commissioner of the Federal Police or the State Police. If they don't have the correct entry visa through the assertion of sovereignty, the Yidinji Nation, the Yidinji Police, have the ability to arrest anyone or anything that's not in here correctly. It can arrest its own people, for example, that are misbehaving or doing the wrong thing. This is what Australia must... They must be very, very careful of what they do now. Because if they're going to start to interfere with our ability to enforce our law and authority on our territory, then that could be a declaration of war. And a nation can't gain territory by warfare anymore, by conquest. You know, that's been ruled out long ago, just after World War II.
Well, who's ruling Afghanistan at the moment?
Well, that's a good question, you know. It's the military, the police were over there, you know. You just start to look at stuff, you know, around the world. The Americans couldn't take over Afghanistan, the British couldn't, the Australians couldn't. They went in there as police. But in saying that, we are the ultimate sovereignty here. We're the one that hasn't been ceded, you know. But what has it really done? Like Bumi said, his parents had to walk. They were treated worse than dogs, you know. You know, at least with the farmer's dog, he got to ride in the cart. You know, but the poor old Murray bloke, he had to walk. Yeah, so this is how the white fellow world viewed Aboriginal people. You know, they were less than the farm dog, which is, you know, that's not right. Especially when you're dealing with the owners. When Phillips come out here, you know, in 1788, he was told to go and make friends with the natives, go and work with them. But instead, they just started stealing and plundering and taking everything. So, you know, that's not right. But we're coming back now to modern time. It's been recognised globally that the Indigenous peoples have not ceded their rights here. They have the right to give it away, to cede it, if they want, to a nation that may be beneficial.
Yeah, you imagine that you got this big house and in that front room is the security next to the door. You can say, who want to be security guard? Australia, you can live there if you want. Or China, you can live there and protect us from any thief coming in. That's what the Indigenous peoples on this continent have, that ability to say, you can stay there. But if you're going to stay there, you've got to take the bin out on Wednesday or Thursday night. You've got to wash up on a Friday, mop the floor. You can stay here then rent free. You stay here. All right? That's what we can do. You want someone to live there and do those things. And they can make good money from that. They just say they're rent-free. They go around and do their business. You know, that's what we're saying to Australia. Hey, you see that room there? You can live there. You can have your police there. You can have your navy, your hospital. And they can all live there. But when we go into that room, or we go to the hospital, we don't wait for 6 hours. Or we don't get treated by racist staff. You know, you got to make sure there's cultural competency. Is that quality is there. So that's all I'm saying. You know, we've been talking about this for 9 years now, and still we're waiting for other tribal nations to come and join us. And there's a handful that have. But the majority of people listening to the show, you can't just say you don't know now when you've been listening to this information. I remember in the scriptures there was a bloke there, Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar and Cyrus. And Daniel was a prophet. And he says, I'm going to tell you the truth. I will tell you only the truth. But if you don't want to know the truth, you don't ask me for it. Too late. You know this information now. You can't go back, rewind time and unlearn it. When Australia got our information, our pieces of paper, our notices, our letters, our articles, you can't undo it now. You got to keep going now. And the more that they turn away from it, they got to be careful from that, because the rule of law does apply. Anyway, you're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet today. Thanks to our friends at 98.7 FM Mamabipra. And guess what? They do have consent to operate a radio station here, and that's the Energy Broadcast Service. We'll be back after the break.
Come on, guys.
Hey, welcome back. Listen, we love supporting all the different tribes on this continent. And guess what? Congratulations to the Waka Waka. And I say that with a true sense of congratulations, because they already know what they know. And 25 years ago, they started this thing inside of Australia to let and educate Australians about who owns that land. And they finally got the Australian courts have said that Waka Waka own it. Now, that's a really important thing, believe it or not. Even though the judge here on the Guardian newspaper says the court is not giving Waka Waka people anything, simply recognising that this has always been and always will be your land, okay? So the judge is saying, hey, Waka Waka, congratulations, the same way they did with the Yidinji. That's why we formed this government, because we got, okay, we own the land now. Well, guess what? This is the law of the land right here. When we set up this government, remember, this is not Australian. This is Yidinji. It's two different things. It'll never be the same. Even when man and woman get married, they still got their own family line from different side. That's the same way. That child will have both way. You can go for Australia or Yidinji if there's a treaty, if we got married together like that, you know? That's what I'm saying now. That father of this one here, it's always here, never the same. Always the same, never jump across the fence, you know? So, let's have a look what happened here. I'm reading from the Guardian newspaper now. A 25-year legal battle is finally over for the Waka Waka people after the federal court recognised their native title claims in southern Queensland. However, their fight began in earnest almost 200 years ago, the court heard. The federal court has recognised the Waka Waka people's native title claim for parcels of land and waters located west of Maryborough and Gympie and northeast of Dalby. It covers a total of 1,178 square kilometres, including the site of Tuesday's historic federal court hearing, the township of Cherbourg. So now you know what that area is being described as. Now, I'm going to stop it right there. They're using Australian names there. They're saying, oh yeah, that native title. Well, guess what the native title in Australia is for this place here? It's called Cairns. That's the original title from Australia. But when you go back to the Yidinji title, which is the one they're talking about, the original title, this is Gimoy or Gimoybara. So you got two names there. One is in Australia, one Australian title, and one is the Yidinji title. What the court is now saying is that the Waka Waka can now make their own title because they own the land, but they can't use that Australian name because that belongs to Australia. The same way, you know, Mr. Mabo is an Australian person, but his tribal persona is Koiki, different name, like Bumi and Hyde or Murmu and, you know, that other person I used to hold before a long time ago. But two different, never can be the same. The Waka Waka people, considered Queensland's third largest Aboriginal community, filed their first native title claim in 1997. This is what the Justice Darryl Rangia said. It is important to emphasise that the court is not giving the Waka Waka people anything. How many times do you hear, oh, native title give you nothing? Well, it's proof there. They're not giving you anything because you already own it. But you just don't know it up here. You might be convincing yourself you don't own it. Now, this is really important because it's not the whole territory. It's parcels of land. But it's recognition of something. And when Yidinji came back with its map of its territory, it revealed the whole lot. Not just one parcel or two parcels or three, this clan group, that clan group. No, the whole lot was brought back. And that's really important. Ganyara, I can see this is not only an education for countrymen, but for Australians as well, because the Australian police, the Australian judiciary, the Australian executive, the Australian mums and dads, they've got to know about these things.
Oh, look, 100%. You'll notice on that there, in that article, that they'll use all Australian names, because the only way you can get a native title determination inside Australia is by being seen legally inside that world. And you've got to be seen legally through the Australian identity. You can't go in there under your tribal identity and say, oh, I'm back. See, here I am. That doesn't work. As the judge said to you at the time, if you're not one of ours, get out. You're free to go at large. Get out the door. You're not in our world. You're not in our universe, our legal universe.
What exactly did he say?
It was a comical event, but the judge had no other ability to say that he couldn't legally see you. He said, if you're not one of ours, you're free to go at large. Go back to your world.
I think in the Guardian newspaper says, I will take it on that basis that you are not Jeremy David Joseph Guy, and you're free to go. And remember, the tribal elders of the tribal council wrote to Australia and said, Jeremy Guy can't speak for Yidinji. All right? The same way no one else in Australia can speak for Yidinji. Only Yidinji can speak for Yidinji. Bumi, Ganyara, Murumu. We can only talk from a government point of view, but this fellow here can talk on tribal law, he can talk government law, he can talk whatever you want. Okay? But that's what I'm saying now. You've got two different things here. This one's the boss, but Gaia can't speak for Yidinji. That's why they said, no, you're not Gaia, get out. We only want Gaia to speak about Australian stuff.
Absolutely, 100%. So that's why to get native title, you've got to be seen as an Australian. You've got to be seen legally through the Australian identity, not the Yidinji one or not the Indigenous one, the tribal one. And that's why native title actually gives you nothing. That's what the judge said, I'll give you nothing. Well, here's one out of a determination over in West Australia. It's a really good one because it makes it very clear. Like the judge says, in making these orders, the court does not give you native title. No, the court determines that native title exists. The court determines that this is your land, that the land title is based upon your traditional laws and customs, which have always been and remain, and that means that the law says to all the people of Australia that this is your land and it always has been your land, your laws and customs have said, and say today that this is your land. So the court does not give you anything. It's just telling everyone of Australia that this is your law. Simple. That's what native title gives, but you've got to be in the right capacity.
Yeah, you've got to go back to that other one to say, you know what? You've been saying in your court that you didn't own the land. And if you're using that Australian name, you can't do that because you've got to come under Australian law. You've got to go back to the Yidinji one. And that's what we've done. Well, not me, but the Yidinji people have been doing it.
See, like what Gunja and Murum were saying here. So what Gribble done, he went and got Minmini. He been teaching me to say, go, come, one, two, three, show me where to camp and tell him I got good news. So he been training him up. But even Ty, I missed his name, know him? I missed that fellow's name.
Keep talking,
though. Yeah, so Gribble got Minmini. Give him a chuck to me. He got Minmini and he put a rope around his hand. He jumped on the horse. He said, you move, you're dead. And he didn't understand that. So what Gribble did, he work. He went and said to him, he said, now, Dob, you're king now. You're king. In our tribal team, we don't have kings and priests. This is a law of this land, sovereignty. But Gribble been hiding behind him and make him do all the dirty work and take their language away. It's not the Yidinji done it. It's what Gribble done to Minmini. Hey, what we're talking about here now, the law of this land, that sovereignty is most of the people of Australia, But they were like he was Dob, you be king now, you even do my work. You take the rap now, I'm walking away clean, clever, I'm wiping my I'm gone, But they're going to wear it. They're going to wear it for what they done to us. Yeah.
Well, as we say, we're going to all meet the Creator. And I'm telling you now that the day of judgment is coming. And whether you believe it or not, watch out. Because we'll be telling you now. You can't unlearn it. You've been finished listening to what I just told you now. So anyway, we're going to go back to what we're talking about, which is sovereignty. And we're going to talk about it from the rule of law, the letter, now. So the Waka Waka now have sovereignty. They have a very strong claim to sovereignty because the Commonwealth of Australia and one of its organs and institutions has said that the Waka Waka people own that land. Now, what's sovereignty? Now, Ganyara, you put this together. give us a bit of a spiel on what sovereignty is.
In a nutshell, it means that it's the independence of a state, I suppose, is the best way of putting it, meaning that there is no other law, no other man-made law, because we don't include religious law in this, there's no other man-made law that can be higher than that that originates from that sovereignty, you know. So the sovereignty, which is, you know, your grund norm, you know, the basic starting point of all other law, which creates things like constitutions and all that sort of stuff there. But how can you have, think about this, how can you have competing, coexisting sovereignties in one piece of land? Because normally the sovereignty is attached or applied to a very specific piece of or geographical location on the earth, you know, as in our world, Gimoi or Yidinji, like Gimoi, for example. Australia want to call it Cairns. We call it Gimoi, they call it Cairns. But which one has the ultimate sovereignty to call this Cairns or Gimoi? It's the one that's here first in time. It's always the case, first in time, best in law. But hang on, who's this Australian mob that's saying this is Cairns? No more. Yidinji have all the attributes of statehood. We got a defined territory. We got a defined population. We got a system of decision making. We got a system of dispute resolution. We got a Minister for Foreign Affairs who can go out and negotiate or talk with the rest of the world. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's roughly 60,000 years ahead. Give or take, okay, we'll correct it, 59,900 years ahead, roughly, over Australia.
Yeah. What's the science?
Well, I believe in the science, yeah, that they got it right. But in saying that, the Uluru Statement, which was handpicked, the constitutional experts were handpicked by the Prime Minister in 2015. They were told to go forward and work out what it is all about. And they come back in 2017 and made a very, very clear statement of what the Aboriginal people would assume to be proper constitutional recognition. And as you just brought up on the screen there, when you read that to them, correct me if I'm wrong, but that makes it very clear.
Yes, here you've described it as one of the most valuable statements made by Australia in the last 117 years. And it is Australian saying this. Our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes were the first sovereign nations of the Australian continent and its adjacent islands, and possessed it under our own laws and customs. Okay, and this our ancestors did according to the reckoning of our culture from the creation, according to the common law from time immemorial, and according to science more than 60,000 years ago. Now, this is Australians saying this, not Yidinji. This sovereignty is a spiritual notion. The ancestral tie between the land or Mother Nature and the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who were born therefrom remain attached thereto and must one day return thither to be united with our ancestors. This link is the basis of the ownership of the soil, or better, of sovereignty. It has never been ceded or extinguished and coexists with the sovereignty of the Crown. You can't get any clearer than that. This is Australia's top academics and scientists and professors basically saying that Yidinji own the place. That's how I'm reading it. And you know, they had the Yarrabah determination, or I can't remember what they called it. And that was a few weeks ago, maybe. And, you know, talking this up. And that's good that they talk it up, because it's a good statement. We're not going against anyone in Yarrabah, because we all won at the end of the day, in terms of, you know, when we're talking about tribal law and things like that. So that's a good thing that they did, because they're reminding all of Australia that these tribes own the land. And, you know, even in Caesar's house, we've got brothers and sisters there. You know what I'm talking about? And so we've got to say, look after them too. So it's never been ceded. So Gunyara put this document together a few years ago where ceded, one of the legal dictionary definitions is any transfer of sovereignty over territory or property from one state or government to another. Now, how can Australia be transferred all this land from Yidinji to the Australian government when there was no Yidinji government here in the first place? On paper, I'm talking about the letter. We're talking about the letter. Now we've got the letter of the law here, the sovereign Yidinji government. They can interface with each other now. But before that, anything that was done, nyarka, nothing. It's still Yidinjis, or it's still Kukuyalanji, it's still Arundas, it's still whoever. Wakwaka, okay? Okay, did you sell it? Did you sell it in Yidinji dollars? Or did they give you big gold for it? Where's that gold? Nothing. Where did you give it to them on a paper? Nothing. All right? Anyway, you know this now. Okay? You know that there is this movement in place now to come back home. And, you know, in the scriptures, when Joseph was in Egypt, he couldn't use his Israel name or his Jewish name. They've been given him a different name. The same way when Yidinji Bama go into Australia, they've been given a different name. His name was Zaphpaphpaneah. But he was also Joseph. And when he died, he made them promise to take his bones back home. Okay? So he got two different law there. The coexisting sovereignties. One was Zaphpaphpaneah, which is under Egyptian law. The one is Joseph, under Jewish law. The same way Murimu got a name here, and he might have a different name on the other side. But I got no Australian name. I can't. I got one Weminpora, Machunk, you might say Pomperau. I got a different name in Central Australia. Okay? I got a different name other places. All right. Remember, this is the one that Ganyara said about that native title, about that judge saying you can't give him, well, I come here to give you nothing today. And that's what I keep saying. Satan said to Jesus on top of the mountain, if you bow down before me, I'm going to give you all this thing you can see here. Nemo dat non quod habet. That's Latin for one cannot grant which one does not possess. Australia can't give you that land. Australia can't give you a treaty. Australia can't give you nothing because you own it all. But you got to come back home now, like Joseph did, to start your law again, to go and talk to Australia and to look after all those Australians, mind you, not just to smash them or do it because, you know, for payback or whatever. You've got to do it out of love, and you've got to look after each other. Because remember, the law ultimately is love your neighbour as thyself. Against such things, there is no law, okay? So, just like Yidinji, the Waka Waka were never Australians. And their sovereignty still exists. And in fact, the Waka Waka still possess sovereignty. And not only that, it's at least minimum equal to that of Australia, if not better. Because there's no formal agreement in place, pardon me, between Waka Waka and the Commonwealth of Australia, because the Waka Waka may not have a tribal government yet. They might do, but I don't know, because I haven't seen them. I haven't spoken to their foreign affairs minister yet. Okay.
With all this, it's got to be acknowledged that the people, the Aboriginal people, it's common knowledge now that the Aboriginal people have not ceded any of their stuff anywhere at all in any place on the continent or the surrounding islands. The Federal Court of Australia said, look, it's an act of settlement. We just moved into your house and we just sort of took over. That's the problem. The native troopers are out there thick and fast. Those that are out there to keep the Aboriginal people inside the Commonwealth of Australia, by keeping them inside there as Australians, they cannot be the legal owners of their land. So as you see in the court, it says, we come here today to give you nothing. You actually own it, so we can't give it to you. But you've got to be in your correct capacity. You come in here as Australians, we can give you nothing because that piece of land is owned by the people, the Waka Waka people or the Yidinji people, in their correct capacity, not as Australians. You see, all the way through that Guardian article, there is all Australian names. They can't be the owners because the Waka Waka people own the place in their correct capacity, their correct identity, know who you are. That's the important part with all this.
Yes, it's true. And anyway, we're going to come back after the break and for some final comments. And you're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition.
I'm a proud black younger boy with the killer flow. Listen to the year that he listen to it blow. For the boys, younger boys, all the way from my land. You're a boy in the life with that. You're a boy in the life with that. You're a boy in the life with that.
music is going. I'm using my money game very, very slowing. Can you feel the wind blowing? Young one, my little money, yeah. Me, God, that I want. So, money, you know, money, you know, money, you know, money, you know. Jungle, way of freedom. City lights, the sound. Too much in my mind, but the quiet and nature sound. Now that is why I live and breathe and represent. Let it shine before the end of time. Lur, lur, you're not marching on your lur, lur. Papa, you're not marching on your irma. God, I beg a boy, God, march now. Nigga, get the door. Marchi, marchi, marchi. Marchi, marchi, marchi. Yeah, yeah. I'm a proud black killer boy with the killer flow. Listen to the hierarchy, listen to it go. You're more my life. Our music is going. I'm using my money game. Very, very flowing. Can you feel the wind blowing? Young one, my little money. Me, God, that I want. So, money, you know, money, you know, money, you know, money, you know.
Oh, welcome back. We're finally finishing the show, but I'm going to let Bumi say some words now to anyone listening from wherever you're from. You might be listening to this in Japan for all we know, but anyway, Bumi.
Yeah, have a good day and happy Easter. And yeah, we had a lot of rain on Gimoy, yeah, and getting a bit cool, but we got to put up with everything. Maritata pain too, but have a good day.
Yeah, look, it's always a good day on this part of the world here. This is Yidinji country, you know, where all the good people are, and with a good intent too, mind you. It's all about bringing back the law for a reason, and one is to do a treaty with Australia if they want it. This is the important part. There's good intent on everything here. Our police have to come back. Our judges have to come back. Our government has to come back. Our citizens, the whole box and dice.
That's true. You know, one of the things I listen to when I go to the different nations and stuff, a main actor that follow, you think you're Elvis or John Wayne, you know? Well, that's true.
Clint Eastwood,
that's what you put me here. You want to be Clint Eastwood, right? With a six shooter. But listen now, that's a true thing. You are the main actor. Your tribe is the main actor. But are you acting as that or an Australian? If you're acting as an Australian, you better stay in line with that constitution. That's good, you know, and that's what we're saying here. While you're there, you know, you might need to be on dialysis or look after children and stuff, and fair enough. But there might be some people there who can do what Yidinji's doing at the moment and go back and start just step by step building that government office, okay? Not because you want to break away from anyone else, it's because you want to look after everyone in your territory and that kingdom principle now. You've got to be peacemakers. You've got to be looking after one another. This is the roles of those royalties. The Nyalan, we call it Nyalan. All the chief or all the boss man or main actors from the Yidinji, we've got to give them that respect, you know, and love, because they're the ones who are directing us and guiding Yidinji government, okay? So everyone who's listening to this on Yidinji land, thank you so much. We love you, and everywhere else, same too. If you're coming here, let us know. If you want to learn more about starting your government, remember, Your nation is only as sovereign as it wants to act. So, yeah, be a main actor, and we'll catch you next week. Anyway, Gayabara Galanyundu, may God's peace be upon you in the almighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. We'll catch you next week. Okay, go.